Square one is no problem. If there were a camp of biologists who thought that pandas are plants or koalas are insects, they wouldn't get past square one. In cosmology, there are basically two camps, matter first and mind first, and they agree that square one is beyond space-time, a dimensionless realm of nothing except pure potential. We've covered that pretty well already. Einstein pointed out that if the physical objects in the universe disappeared, there would be no space or time. As it blinks in and out of existence, every subatomic particle checks into the quantum vacuum, which means that it goes where time and space don't exist. The fact that the entire cosmos takes the same journey means that eternity is right beside us, a constant companion. Another thing that both camps agree upon is existence, which sounds so basic as to be meaningless. Of course the universe exists, but that statement does have meaning, because it says that even when a particle takes its little trip into the quantum vacuum, the absence of time and space doesn't annihilate it. Somehow, the particle still exists. But it exists in eternity and everywhere at once. So powerful is the embrace of the quantum vacuum that when a quantum is behaving like a wave, it retains its ability to be everywhere at once. In short, existence isn't a blank slate. There's something valuable hidden in its secret recesses. Some physicists, without a mystical blush, reduce the entire universe to a single wave, or even a single particle. This would constitute the true God particle. Having agreed on square one, the next step is where argument enters the story. Was the infant cosmos pushed into existence by physical forces or by a mind? Is it enough to have bricks without a bricklayer? To illustrate, consider a cathedral in place of the universe. Studying the materials that the great Cathedral of Notre Dame is made of, such as stone, metals, and stained glass, can give hints about the building's construction methods and the historical times during which it was built. But by no means is Notre Dame merely the sum of these parts. It was created by conscious beings and reveals an alive presence that dead physical objects cannot account for. Stone, metal, and stained glass are the materials of architecture, but not its art. So when it comes to describing Notre Dame, the parts tell us about the quantity of stuff a cathedral is made from. The architecture tells us about the qualia of the building, including its beauty and religious significance. Closing this gap between quantity and qualia would get us to step two of discovering the real reality of the universe. We need a bricklayer who functions for science the way God functions for religion. The universe has infinitely more complex building blocks than a cathedral, and the only candidate for a bricklayer who can keep them all straight is the cosmic mind. With Notre Dame, the presence of consciousness is unmistakable, even though the architects are long dead and gone. Inference is enough to tell us that conscious agents were at work. You can infer the behavior of consciousness in the cosmos the same way, through inference. There is no need to meet and greet a cosmic architect. We only need to observe how the universe is behaving, not like bits of matter colliding, but like a mind doing everything with a purpose.